Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
We turn, please, to the book of Thessalonians, the first epistle, the first letter to the Thessalonians, and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Now, during the 50s, that seems a long time ago, I was brought up in Arbroath, just up the coast there, and I spent many happy years there. Went to Little Gospel Hall there in Park Street, so there no longer. New one being built. And I heard preaching. And the preaching seemed always to be about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't hear that preaching so much these days. And I think I know the reason why. In the 1950s, it wasn't so long after the war, things were tough. I don't suppose many of you remember that. But it was tough. There was rationing. I remember taking the little ration book to the Co-op. And as a good Gospel Hall goer, when I was asked for the number, for the dividend, I could say no number. That might not be understood by many of you. But that's what we did. We had sugar measured out into brown bags. No supermarkets in those days, no pizzas, no hamburgers, no McDonald's. Dreadful life it was. And I think that the preachers were feeling the weight of that. No heating in the houses. Get up in the morning in the winter and you scratch the inside of the pane to get rid of the frost, the inside. That's how cold it was. But not much money about. And I think these preachers were measuring such a hard life against the eternal bliss that they were going to enjoy. And they looked forward to that with more eager anticipation than perhaps we do today, because we're better off. Heated homes, central heating, supermarkets, McDonald's. Other fast food shops are available. So, I just wonder, you see, why it should be that we no longer preach about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it because we're comfortable here? I'm talking now for a moment to Christians. Are we just thinking, the story is told that the young Christian girl didn't want the Lord to come because she wanted to enjoy married life for a while. Well, after 56 years of married bliss, I can tell you that marriage is a wonderful institution, but it pales into insignificance when we imagine and see and understand the great future that we have when Christ should come. I used to talk to an elderly, even more elderly than me, Christian, and he would say, I'm ready to go to heaven, but not yet. I sometimes looked at him and I thought to myself, you're always complaining about your health. With good cause, the man wasn't well. And, you know, he had known bereavement and he'd known problems and so on in his life, and yet he was hanging on to this earth because he thought that this was preferable to that. And that's the wrong way to look at it, isn't it? It's the wrong way to look at it. One of the metaphysic poets would say that he wanted the Lord to come not through weariness of life, but love for him. Do we catch that? not through weariness of life, oh, I'm feeling my knees going, and it'll be fine when the Lord comes. We cannot begin to understand what is going to happen when the Lord comes. It's going to have an impact upon everyone in the hall this evening, one way or another. And I'd like to just look at that. I just had a momentary flash there concerning the 50s in the Arbroathan. The Leary man used to come. You know what the Leary man is? He used to come round with a pole, and he used to bite the gas street lights. Well, I suppose these gas lights were a precursor of LED lights with automatic photocells with them. But that's what he did. That was his job, going around Arbroath, lighting the lights with his Leary lamp. Happy days, eh? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The writer, it's interesting, you know, the writer is the Apostle Paul, but he's not really the writer. This book that we've got is the inspired word of God. God speaks to us through the word. And Paul was dictated to. He was a scribe. He wrote what he was instructed. So this is the mind of God. And it says in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Right, now what does that mean? That means those who have died, those Christians who have died. And the dear people at Thessalonica were wondering what was happening. What happens if a Christian dies? I would like to know. And we read, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. So there is to the Christian a hope, because it's possible and perhaps even probable that we will all die. Certainly if the Lord tarries, he does not come, we will all die. The Bible speaks quite clearly of that. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive, that's the Christians that are still living when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent, that's an old-fashioned word for go before or precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that's those who are sleeping, that's what he was talking about, shall rise first. And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. That is, a Christian. Say, for instance, the Lord was to come tonight. Well, we would all go, those of us whose faith is in Christ. And that was what spoke to me over these preachers coming, whatever their motive might be. I don't want to judge their motives, because they were all good men. But that was what spoke to me. I knew that my mother and father were Christians. I knew that my oldest brother was a Christian. Not too sure about my second one, John. And I wondered what would happen if the Lord Jesus Christ came and just took those to be with him and I was left. no great motive in my salvation. I was fighting for my miserable skin. That's what brought me to Christ. And the Bible says, and that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say a motive's got to be pure, good, and so on. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The idea is caught up, snatched. You know, I think it's a bit like a magnet, you know. If here we are, all Christians were sort of like pins, and Christ comes, we would... And the plastic, the non-steel iron would be left. So as if by magnet drawn, we would leave this place. The mechanics of it we're not going to discuss this evening. We're just going to speak about the fact of it. Shall we caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, back a few books, 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll have started to look for verse 51, won't you? That's where we're going to start reading. Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, we all like mysteries, don't we? A mystery in the Bible is something which was hidden before. We don't really read about the second coming of the Lord in the Old Testament. But here was a mystery that was to be revealed. And it's like the old Ark of the Covenant. We'll remove the mercy seat, the lid, and we look into that. That which was formerly hidden is now seen. And God is revealing now. What is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes? We shall not all sleep. Well, we read about that in 1 Thessalonians, didn't we? That there are going to be two types of Christians. There's going to be those Christians who have died, and that's, I suggest, the majority of Christians, the millions who have passed through into death from Pentecost onwards. They are lying, scattered, rent asunder, Hebrews would tell us, and pulled apart by animals and eaten by fish. And the old, again, another metaphysical point, we speak about the old, the Christians who have been eaten by scaly cannibals at sea. What an image that raises. And again, we're not talking about the mechanics of the resurrection, we're talking about the fact of it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Well, how are we going to be changed? How are we going to be changed? Well, that's a question, isn't it? What's going to happen to us when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us to be himself? Is it that we are going to have this old body that's aging, frail, failing? We shall be changed. The Bible tells us that we are going to be fashioned like unto the body of Christ's glory. We're going to be like him. Can we begin to understand that? And if we read on, we'll see how that's going to happen. In a moment, the word for a moment comes from an atom, hardly possible to size. In the twinkling of an eye, so in a fraction of an instant. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This body is corrupting, isn't it? I think you renew all your cells in about 7 years, something like that, isn't it? Corrupting all the time, and we age, and you know, there's no good trying to fool people about your age. You kind of look what your age is. We shall all, for we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, we are so mortal, ready to die, the Bible says. We shall put on immortality. That is, we will never die again. We will live forever and ever and ever. Good news to those who are Christians. Dreadful news to those who are not. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Well, sting has still got a death has still got a sting today. Separates, divides, leaves sad hearts. O grave, where is thy victory? Partial victory today. As who amongst us has not stood at the open graveside and seen beloved parting from us? And there's partial victory. But the day is going to come when the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable. And so, an understanding and an appreciation of the coming of the Lord motivates those of us who are Christians to do things. But did you notice the difference? And we need to go back to Romans chapter 10 to understand the meaning for us this afternoon. These are good, well-known verses, but nevertheless, we'll read them because they are vitally important. And when I say vitally, I mean it literally. Romans 10 and verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So here we come to the crux of the matter. And here we've got to ask ourselves the vital question, am I a Christian? Am I going to be with Christ when he comes? Am I going to be with my fellow Christian? Am I going to be taken from this world and enter into a bliss which we cannot begin to understand, but we'll, if we have time, we'll touch on it and see what God has in store for those whose faith is in Christ? Or am I going to be left? And if we had time, I've little inclination, but if we had time, we would look at what happens to the person who is left behind, who is not a Christian. The awfulness of it. You know, what's heaven going to be like? Well, heaven's not the eternal dwelling place of the Christian. The eternal city is in Revelation chapter 21. Which comes down from heaven, a wonderful thing. I suggest to you that it's not a square, but it's a pyramid. The pyramid being same dimension height as base. Coming down from heaven, and the Christians are going to be there eternally with Christ. And because Christ is there, and Christ is not with those who are left, and are going to be consigned to that awful place called the lake of fire, which is the eternal dwelling of those whose faith is not in Christ, hell being a temporary place. Christ said, I am the light of the world. And because Christ is not in that awful place, there is darkness beyond understanding. I've been 2 miles below the surface of the earth and in a gold mine. And I switched my lamp off for a while to see what it was like. And it was a darkness that you could feel. Nothing. It's absolutely. That's what hell's going to be like. He says, I am the way, And I imagine the wanderings, hopeless, forlorn wanderings of the soul who has failed to put their faith in Christ and knows nothing of the eternal bliss that God has in store for him. Everything that Christ is in his life, in his shepherding, in his way, is absent from those who refuse to accept Christ. Let's just read in Revelation a few of the blessings. And I would just love to think that these things would just win you for Christ, as it has done for those of us whose faith is in Christ. And we ask again the question, where are you going to spend eternity? And I think of the unnecessary, needless waste of those who have heard the gospel and refuse to accept Christ, when all the time God in his infinite love and mercy and patience. We sometimes sing, God's patience may weary someday. No. God's patience never wearies. It's a virtue, it's an attribute. And God's patience is infinite and he's longing. His grace has gone. How many times did I lie in my bed at Arbroath and refuse to accept the gospel? Years. God's patience came, and by his grace, I came into a knowledge of Christ. Revelation chapter 21. And there came unto me, that is John, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And if you want to frighten yourself, read about these plagues. And talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know, sometimes we say, what was God's plan? What was God, you know, what happened at the Garden of Eden? Why did that go wrong? What about the commandments as given and broken? What was that about when we see that the culmination of God's plan is that a bride, the church, you and me, if we are Christians, are going to be presented to Christ without spot, without wrinkle, with any such thing. That is the culmination. That's God's great plan. And this angel shows the future to John, because prophecy, it's just history written in advance. It's going to come to pass. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, Christ himself. And her light was like unto the stone most precious. And he goes on to describe the walls and the foundations and so on. Verse 23 says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of a nation unto it. But wait a minute. Verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life, dear? So, you might say, yes, it was written there on, and you've got a date. I ask again, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And if you say no, the awfulness of not knowing Christ and the future should burden you, should trouble you. And we just ask that, as we have described, hopefully, in an understandable way, the coming again of Lord Jesus Christ to take to himself those of us who in simple faith have trusted him and leave behind those for awful punishment and judgment, those I hope that you've understood and come to faith in Christ through his patience, through his death at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ's death at Calvary, paying the price for your sin and for mine, so that he might have you with himself for eternity. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.